Hey, good morning, church family. It is so good to see everybody here this morning. We are glad we are here to worship with you all today. And I'm grateful to God for allowing me to be a part of our church. As a leader of our Portuguese-speaking community, I want to thank you for our church for opening its doors to our Portuguese-speaking community. And for your support and our giving, you are giving this ministry. It has been a privilege to be for me to lead this group and to see what growing God's by God's grace our Hope community is growing. Two Saturdays ago we had our Brazilian gathering here and a church and. We were about 15 Brazilian, and last Sunday, we were about 20 Brazilians here in our English service. It was so good to see what God is doing in our ministry, and I would like to say thank you for everybody. I thank God for our church, and thank you for your help. In our ministry. And I'm also deeply grateful that our church welcomed me onto elder team. Even though English is not my first language, maybe you know that. but I do not always feel confident, but I'm grateful God because he's helped me and guided me. And thank you for your trust, your support, and your prayers. So I heard this morning it's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. In Portuguese we say Feliz Dia dos Pais, happy Father's Day. One thing I enjoy about being an immigrant father, I get two Father's Day, one in Brazil, one here in America. It's twice appreciation. I love it. But twice a chance of my kids forget about it. Speaking about Father's Day, I just remember a funny story my parents told me. When I was born, in that day, my dad, he said he cried a lot. Not because I was his first child, his first son, but the hospital took every dollar he had that day, and he cried. But I'm so grateful for my dad, and he, even though he left all his dollar there in hospital, he took me home, he brought me home, he gave me a family, he gave me a home, and I'm so grateful for him, and I really miss him. So we are in a short sermon series called Welcome Home, and last Sunday, Pastor Jared shared a message called The Mission of the Home, and today I would like to talk about God's design for the home. So we know that today many people have different ideas about families, about what family should be or what the real family looks like. So we must return to God's original design for the family. The family was not created by culture, by government, or by society. The family was God's design, was God's plan. We must turn to God's original design for the family because he created the family. He has planned for life and for family. So the question for us this morning is, how can we understand God's design for the home? What a foundation has God gave us? And today I would like to share about God as creator. We're going to see about design. God as a father. We're going to see about relationship. And the father's heart. We're going to see about examples. So, first point is God as the creator. Let's begin with Psalms 19, verse 1, because it lays our foundation for what we believe and about God as a creator and his creation. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." Everything God created points to his greatest wisdom, power, and glory. Everything God created reveals his power and beauty. Yet when we read the creation story in Genesis, we see something amazing. Before God created Eve, God carefully prepared the earth for them. He created light before created eyes to see it. He created water before created living creatures that would be needed. He created plants and fruit-bearing trees before created people who would eat from them. He separated land from sea, established seasons, and filled the world with beauty and good things. Before God created first family, he prepared a home for them. Like I said about my dad, when I was born, my dad prepared a home for me. He brought me home. And God prepared a home for them. This reminds us that family was a never human invention. It was a God's idea from the beginning. The family is a God's first organization. Before there were cities, schools, churches, there were families. So we all know that God said to Adam and Eve, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Genesis chapter 1. When God created the first family, his purpose was greater than just filling the earth with people. God's plan was to fill the earth with families that would reflect his image, display his love, and bring him glory. I've learned that in God's design, the family is the first place that we learn about love. We know what love is in our home. It is in a home that children learn to trust, parents learn to sacrifice, husbands and wives learn to serve one another, and together they learn that God is worthy, their greatest love. The purpose of family is not just to live together under the same roof. The purpose of the family is to help one another grow, love one another, love God, and reflect his love to the world. God designed the family to be a place where his love and his truth are passed from one generation to the next. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, "One generation shall commend our works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." In this passage, the psalmist shows us how the people of Israel remember God's creation and how mighty hand they brought them of the suffering of Egypt. One generation told the next generation about great works of God. In the same way, God calls us to teach our children about him, to tell them the story of creation, of his creation, and share how he brought us out of darkness and into his light. Have you told your children about your story? Do they know how God saved you? Do they know what Jesus is doing in your life? We saw this last week through Pastor Jared's family example. The gospel has been passed down from generation to generation. And we also learned that we cannot make decisions for our children, but we can guide them by showing them right path and by God's grace, preparing them to make wise decisions for themselves. We cannot change them, but we can show them the right path. Secondly, I would like to share about God as a father. God did not simply create a humanity and leave us on our own. From the very beginning, His desire, a relationship with his people. Throughout the scripture, he reveals himself not only as a creator, but as a father. When God created the first family, he created people his image. He gave them the ability to love, to communicate, to care one another, to work together, and enjoy relationships as he does. The same as he does. So over the years, I have talked to many people who did not have a good father growing up, but because of that, they sometimes struggle to see God as a loving father. But God never makes mistakes. God never makes mistakes. He can take the painful parts of our story and use them for good. Everything you have been through has brought you to this moment. And God can use those trials to draw you closer to Him and help you know Him as perfect Father. Earthly fathers do not define who God is. God defines what father should be. That's why God created family from the beginning. That's why the family was a God idea from the beginning. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he told them to pray, "Our Father in heaven." We know that God is our creator. He is our king. But Jesus taught his followers to know him as a father, a day father. And God constantly reveals himself as a loving father. So the psalmist writes, Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." 1 John 3, verse 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. As a good and wise Heavenly Father, God has given us a guidance on how to be a faithful fathers in our homes." If the purpose of the family is to help one another and reflect God's love to the world, how can we build that kind of family in our homes? Proverbs gives the answers. I like the idea that God gives a family in creation, in Genesis, and he gives us wisdom for building the family in his word. We have wisdom in God's word to build our family, to building our family. Solomon reminds us that strong families do not happen by accident. They are built intentionally according to God's wisdom. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 says, "By wisdom a house was built, and by understanding is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with a precious and pleasant riches." Proverbs 1 says, verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Proverbs 4, 1 says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive so that you may gain insight." Here are some helpful ways we can build our homes wisely by teaching our children. Spend time with them, be with them, teach them, doing things together with them. Many of us are familiar with Proverbs 22, verse 6. I know you know this verse. We heard a lot of this verse in our series, but I would like to share something special in this verse when the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." But I like the way how Charles Spurgeon applied his verse when he said, Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Because sometimes we say something, but we don't do something. We don't do what we said. So I studied psychology during those 5 years. I learned a great deal about relationship between fathers or parents and their children, and how it shapes who we become and influence the way that we see the world. So what researchers are discovering today, God revealed in His Word long ago. As a parent, sometimes our instruction often sounds more like correction than affection. But correction is the way that we show love, our affection. Correction is the way that we show our affection. I am a season of my life that my boys most of our conversations begin with, don't do that, or you have to do it. So this week, I made a list. I have a list of things I constantly have to remind my boys to do. And probably I said these things every day this week, like brush your teeth, close the door, put your shoes on, don't hit your brother, say sorry, close the door. Pick up your toys, wash your hands, share with your brother, say please and thank you, clean your room, turn off TV, go to bed, be kind, listen carefully. And you know what's funny? I catch myself repeating my boys sometimes the very thing I used to hate, listen about with my fathers, with my parents. I hate hearing from my parents something like, I try to translate some Brazilian parents' sayings into English. I don't know if they make sense to you, but let's see what's happened. I just remember my parents saying that money doesn't grow on trees. Do you think I look like a bank? How many times do I have to tell you? If everyone jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? Do y'all say that in America? I think this is universal, like every parent say that. I thought it was just in Brazil. But I hope one day you have a child just like you. You will understand when you are a parent. This is going to hurt me more than it's hurt you. And bad. One day you will thank me for this. I brought you into the world and I can take you out of it. My mom said this a lot before he got saved. A lot. But we laugh about those things because we've all been there. But behind all those reminders is something important. Every time we correct, instruct, warn, encourage our children, we are doing something much bigger than simple. Help them behave better. We are helping shape their character, their values, their understanding of the world. I know this can feel exhausting sometimes, but is the one of the greatest duties God has given us. He placed your children in your home for a reason. And behold, all this encouragement, we give them, they need to know God's word. They need to know God's word. And guess what? God has entrusted you with the privilege of teaching them while they are under your roof. Family is a gift from a loving father. And when we understand God's heart as a father, we begin to understand his design for the family. Some of you may be thinking, my children are grown now. They live far away from me. I'm in a different season now. I've already done what I'm supposed to do. This is not for me. But children never stop being our children. We always have a connection to the generations our God has trusted to us. Maybe your role has changed, but now your calling may be to be pray for them, encourage them, and offer wisdom when they need it. And I can assure you of this thing. Even though I live thousands of miles away from my parents, I still remember with gratitude all they have done for me. It means so much to know that even from a distance, I can feel they love, they care, they pray for me. Those things are never forgotten by children, by our children. And finally, I would like to share about the father's heart by example. We will see what love likes in action. We will turn to a story that gave us a powerful picture of father's heart. The story of Jairus and his daughter. Luke chapter 8. There was about a man named Jairus. Verse 40. The Bible says, Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at his feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Many of those are familiar with this passage. But the Bible says, Jairus was a respected man, a leader of his community, and a man of influence. But one day, none of those things mattered. His 12-year-old daughter was dying. As a parent, we understand something about that. When our children hurt, we hurt. When they struggle, we struggle. There are few things more painful than seeing your child suffer and knowing there is nothing you can do to fix it. But Jairus loved his daughter deeply, and because he loved her, he did what any loving father would do. He sought help. The Bible says that Jairus came to Jesus, fell at his feet, and begged him to come to his house. I find that remarkable. Jairus was a respected leader, yet he was willing to humble himself publicly because his daughter mattered more than his reputation. As the story is going on, Jairus received the worst news a parent could hear. Someone comes from his house and says, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." Can you imagine that moment? The fear, the grief, the hard moment for him. So many of us know what it feels like. Carry burdens for our children that we cannot fix. Maybe it's a health issue, broken relationship, a poor decision, or a spiritual struggle. There comes a point when every parent realize that they cannot control everything. But before Jairus could speak, Jesus spoke, "Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe." What a beautiful reminder for our parents. We cannot save our children. We cannot change their hearts. We cannot change every outcome, but we can bring them to Jesus. We can bring them to Jesus. Jairus brought his greatest burden to Christ, and Jesus did what Jairus could never do for himself. Jesus went to his house, took the little girl by hand, and said, "Child, arise." And her life returned. Jairus gave us a beautiful picture of a father's heart. But his story points us to a greater Father, our God Creator, our Jesus, our Savior. A Father who loves his children, a Father who seeks their good, a Father who does not abandon they and their greatest need. Our Heavenly Father loved us so much that he sent his Son Jesus Christ to save us. And we were dead in our sins, but through Christ, we have been given life again. Like that little girl. The story of Jairus reminds us that the greatest gift a parent can give a child is not success, comfort, or wealth. The greatest gift we can give them is to bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. And this morning, I would like to remember you that we are child of God. God designed the family. God reveals himself to us, a loving father. In Jairus, we see a lovely, powerful picture of a father's heart. A father who loved his daughter so much that he brought her to Jesus. The truth is, every family is imperfect. Every father is imperfect. Every mother is imperfect. Every child is imperfect. But we have a perfect Heavenly Father. A Father who created us, a Father who loves us, a Father who sent his Son to save us. Today, if you are a parent, be encouraged. Keep teaching them God's truth. Keep praying for them. Keep bringing them to Jesus. If your children are grown, do not stop praying for them. Do not stop encouraging them. God is not finished working in their lives. And no matter your age here this morning, if you are still under your parents' care, honor them. Obey them. They are not perfect. But they make mistakes. But they love you more than words can express. Because God put love in our heart inside of us. If you are here today carrying burdens for your family, remember the words that Jesus spoke to Jairus. Do not fear, only believe. If you forget everything that I said, just remember this word. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. May our homes be a place where God's truth is taught, God's love is displayed, and the gospel is passed from the generation to the next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our perfect Father. Thank you for the gift of our families and for your love and faithfulness in your lives. God, would you help us to teach our truth, your truth, reflect your love,
and point the next generation to Jesus.
Lord, this morning we open our hearts to receive your word. Help us to be a good father, good parents. Help us to raise our children in our way. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. We love you, God. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our church. Thank you for your word. Help us be a good fathers, a good parents, by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing, and if you want to pray with me, I will be here. I would like to invite Pastor Heath, and we're going to pray together. Let's sing. The invitation is open. Let's pray.